Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The word of God for our special devotion this morning is recorded in the second letter of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 5, verses 1 through 10, as follows. Now we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened, because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now it is God who has made us for this very purpose, and has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. We live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please Him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. In Jesus' name, beloved of God, would you say you are a confident person? In 1911, Bobby Leach was confident that he could go over Niagara Falls in a specially designed barrel. He did it, and he did live to tell about it. In September 1923, Tokyo, Japan experienced a tremendous earthquake, and the famous American architect Frank Lloyd Wright had designed Tokyo's Imperial Hotel. When a reporter called him saying that he had heard a rumor that the Imperial Hotel had been destroyed in the earthquake, Wright immediately answered that the rumor had to be false. He had designed the building to withstand just such an earthquake, and he was confident that it could not have fallen. As it turned out, the hotel had not only remained standing, but it became an important shelter for the citizens during the crisis. Would you say you are a confident person? Confident that you could go over Niagara Falls in a barrel? Confident that you could design a hotel that could withstand the strongest Japanese earthquakes? Are you as confident a person as Bobby Leach or Frank Lloyd Wright? I know that I am not always very confident. Life is so full of twists and turns and tragedies and troubles and unexpected problems and confusion and challenges that I often find myself wondering, can I handle what's next? Or looking at the past and saying, did I do the right thing in that situation or say the right thing? What decisions should I make now? Can I be sure things will turn out well? Confidence can be really hard to stir up when we seem to need it the most. The Apostle Paul had just been writing to the Corinthians here in our lesson today about the struggles that they had been facing. He wrote, "We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted but not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed." And then he soon went on to say, "We are always confident." Was Paul just writing empty words here? Or is it true that Christians can be always confident? As a matter of fact, God gives you reason to be confident. To be confident as He leads you through life and as you follow Him. The times in which the early Christians lived in the days of the Apostle Paul and in the years following, they were extremely uncertain times. The Roman emperors in those days were extremely hostile to the Christian faith, and many believers were persecuted and put to death. But even in the face of death, God had given them reason to be confident. Paul wrote, "Now we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands." Many of you have been camping at one time or another, and you've slept in a tent overnight. And a tent is very much a temporary shelter. You pull it out of the bag, you put a few poles together, and you stretch the fabric until it rises. You can put the tent up in a few minutes, and you can take it down in a few minutes, or a storm can take it down in a few minutes for you. That much about a tent, the ease of putting it up and taking it down, that can be convenient. But when the massive thunderstorm comes and hits your campsite and tree limbs break and fall on your tent and you can hear the fabric tearing and the tent wobbles and the poles bend and it starts to leak, well, then you wish that you were in a sturdier building. Our life in these earthly bodies that we have now is like staying in a tent. We can get along. We can do the things that we need to do. But we know that these bodies as they are cannot protect us from everything. These tents as they are can be destroyed by any number of things. Sickness, disease, accidents, terrorism, drugs, abuse of alcohol, a careless mistake or a bad choice. These tents just are not all that sturdy because they have been affected by sin and corruption, and we groan and we are burdened by all the many things that do us harm. And when we realize that these tents of our bodies are not permanent, just like a camping tent is not a permanent dwelling, then sometimes we begin to lose some confidence in our futures. We look at ourselves and we say, "I'm just wasting away, ashes to ashes and dust to dust." But God has also given you a building, as Paul says, an eternal house in heaven, a building as opposed to a tent. You have another dwelling to look forward to where you will live, one that is sturdy and permanent. Like our bodies are to a tent, our heavenly building is to a mighty fortress that nothing can tear down or destroy or ruin. And when Christians die, they begin their journey to that fortress. You will leave behind your earthly tent. It will remain in the ground for a time. Your soul will be safely with the Lord. Just as the apostle says, "We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord." And then at the resurrection of the dead on the last day, your earthly body will be made new again, rejuvenated and reinvigorated and regenerated, brought back to life, and you will live in the eternal building that is called our heavenly dwelling. And living there will not be like staying in a tent. That place will be permanent and forever. So back to the matter of our confidence. Scripture says that you have reason to be confident. Confident even in this frail and passing life, because you know that God has given you a permanent life in heaven. You are confident. Paul says, "We are confident because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life." Christ has died. More than that, he was raised to life again. He died on that terrible cross to suffer for your sin, that sin which leads to death. And he rose again from the dead to give you confidence that you are no longer counted guilty, and that you are being prepared to join your Savior in your heavenly dwelling, in that building that Paul talks about. Christ rose from the dead to show you that you will rise too and ascend to the house of God just as Jesus did. Sure, there are times when we would prefer to be at home with the Lord already. We'd like to be in that building right now. But already we live now with the confidence that that day will come. And with that confidence, we don't have to be afraid when our earthly tent begins to shake a little bit, or the winds blow a little bit, or when a hole appears in the top of it and it starts leaking a little bit. We have confidence that whatever threatens us here, whatever challenges, whatever problems, whatever troubles, whatever the future might hold for us that may be difficult, we are confident that these earthly bodies, these tents that we are in now, will be laid aside. And one day we will be with the Lord in that heavenly building. Is that enough? Maybe even with the promise of heaven, it's hard for you to be confident. It is difficult for us to live by faith and not by sight. Our sinful flesh makes it a struggle for us to be certain. Even though we know and we trust what we've been told, we don't see it yet with our eyes, do we? We don't see our heavenly building just yet. And so, to build up our confidence even still more, God has also given you a deposit to guarantee that you will receive your heavenly dwelling. And you know what a deposit is. Anyone who's rented an apartment or bought a car or bought a can of pop in Michigan knows about deposits. With an apartment, you pay a certain amount of money up front to guarantee that you will make the other payments and leave the place in good condition. At the grocery store, the 10-cent deposit that you pay every time you pick up a can is to guarantee that you won't throw those cans out of your car window and litter the roadside. God, too, has paid a deposit to guarantee something, to guarantee that something will happen in the future. He's given you a deposit to guarantee that he will give you your heavenly dwelling in full. God put down a deposit himself to reassure you that he will do what he has promised and to give you even more confidence. And the deposit that he gives you, the apostle says here, is the Spirit. The Holy Spirit, who was sent by the Father, who proceeds from the Son, and who lives in each Christian. He is the deposit. How do you know that you have the Spirit living in you and that he is leading you to heaven? Are you sorry for your sins? Do you trust in Jesus for forgiveness? You say yes to those. You have the deposit. The Holy Spirit works in you. Works in you repentance and faith and confidence in your heavenly dwelling. He is with you. And that is God's deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. God has given you something. He has given you his Spirit, his very own Spirit, so that you can know and be certain of what is to come. This is yet another reason to be confident. God gives you reason to be confident. Confident in this life because you know that you have an eternal house in heaven. And you have the Spirit as a guarantee, as a down payment, that you will reach your heavenly home. So now the question is, what are you going to do with that confidence? Sometimes confident people just do whatever they want to do. They write their own rules. They barrel through life, using their confidence to get their own way. With Christians, though, it's different. The Bible says that because of our confidence in eternal life, we make it our goal to please Him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. We use our confidence to live our lives for the Lord Jesus, who has saved us and given us our heavenly dwelling, our heavenly building. Whether living or dying, then we are the Lord's, and we strive to do His will, to please Him in every way. This is how we use our confidence. And why wouldn't we want to please Him, who gives us so much confidence and so much joy and so much future goodness? So let your light shine, and let it shine now and confidently. Let it shine to show that you are confident in the salvation that you have received from God, and make it your goal to please Him confidently all your life. Amen.